The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
This is Sherm Radio in partnership with Timber Media, podcasters for India Inc.
Hello everyone, and this is Archana Jarrett tuning in with Sherm Radio. It's that time of the week when Sherm is on air. Sherm Radio is the place to catch up with leaders and have insightful conversations on all things work. Today, our guest is Mr. Prateek Kumar, CEO of Wipro Infrastructure Engineering. In addition, Prateek is a member of the board of Wipro Enterprises, as well as member of the Group Executive Council of Wipro Group. He is also an active member of various industry bodies. Today, he and I will be discussing his leadership viewpoint on experiences and learnings from COVID-19. Prateek, welcome to Sherm Radio.
Thank you, Archana. Good to be speaking to you.
Looking forward to this conversation, Prateek. As a leader, what has been your biggest learning from this experience of the COVID-19 pandemic? And what, if I may ask, worries you most going forward?
So, Archana, interesting you ask, because in some sense, we are not done yet. And we are still going through this whole experience. But I think the last about, 8 to 10 weeks, I have certainly given some observations, some insights, some learning, which I think is useful to share. So one is, something like this, which, you confront, which is completely unexpected and is hugely threatening. Very often your immediate response is one which is driven by, I would say, fear of unknown. And the reaction is not always very, very coherent, right? And all the years of training which you may have gone through, it doesn't prepare you enough to handle a situation like this. And in my own limited observation, what I've experienced is eventually is the common sense and the calmness in the room which trumps over in unfolding crisis like this. And there are many instances, maybe time may not permit to go into each, but that's something which to me has been very, very striking. And just building on what I just now said, while we all acknowledge this threat and the crisis, the perception of it is not uniformly understood, neither is our ability to cope with it. And I read a very interesting quote recently, which said that, while we are all facing the same storm, we are not sailing in the same boat, right? Which means we are not evenly positioned to deal with it. And I can speak through the lenses of our own organization. There are parts of the organization which got completely decimated in the last about 8 to 10 weeks, just in terms of where business was and, what these 8-10 weeks, where it actually positioned. And there were parts of the businesses which actually rolled along evenly well. So at an organization level, and if I may actually extend it, even at an individual level, you will notice our ability to cope with it will differ. And therefore, it's not the same while we all acknowledge the reality of what this crisis is all about. So that's something which I thought was another interesting observation. What struck me, Archana, also is that how quickly, the framework of reference shifts. And I was just looking back in the time frame of, that is just the pre-COVID period, where the world used to be very, very idyllically referred as, it's a global village where everything is seamless, movement of people, goods, transport, everything. And from there, think about to a point where we quickly shift, where your existence is defined and confined to the precincts of your home and immediate neighborhood. Just reflect on it. It's not even your city. It's not state, country. And to me, it's a huge, huge reset. So these are observations at one level, if you may. But I think something else which I notice, and hopefully, the listeners would be able to relate to, an event like this also brings out the best in people and sometimes not so good part of it as well. I was amazed how quickly companies, organizations, employees were able to quickly pivot around. I found institutions were seamlessly collaborating, very open, very eager, very keen in sharing and offering their learning with whoever who needed to partner to be able to address the immediate crisis. Just the burst of ideas coming from employees, organizations, very, very innovative. It is almost like if you go by the adage which says that don't let any crisis go to waste, people were working overtime to be able to come up with very, very simplistic and useful solutions what to do next. And there is, at multiple levels, if you notice, there is a very heightened level of sensitivity and desire to connect. It's the sense which one gets is that, look, we are all in it together and let's, tide over. On the other side, which I mentioned, which is, the not so good side or the ugly side, I mean, one was a little distressed to see that there were inconsiderate behavior in pockets which were not desirable at all. And, even today when you actually look at your TV screens and on the media, there are people who are distressed and not so privileged, and what they're actually going through, that is at a completely different level, and it makes you wonder. And again, it goes back to the same point which I was making, that our ability to cope with a scenario like this, it just completely, completely and starkly differs. And just to close on, this particular question of yours, Archana, on a lighter note, I never realized that we have so many experts in the country on virology and epidemiology, right? Everyone seems to be an expert on what the world would look like going forward. So, so in a way, we are in a good spot when we have so many experts who are there, which I didn't know that they were around.
Very true. I think being an optimist and idealist, I would say, Prateek, agree with your point that, it's brought out the best in a lot of people and organizations, and the collaboration is unprecedented because we're all learning. There's no past experience to really go back to. And coming to experience, what have you personally learned from this experience?
Yeah. So, and maybe I didn't fully answer one part of your question, Archana, which was, what worries me going forward? And if I may just take a minute or two, because I was just reflecting on your question, is that it's a modern era pandemic where we get moment to moment update. It's almost like ball to ball commentary in a real time basis. And all of us are glued in. And we need to realize that people are vulnerable. They're also very anxious, and they go on to the social media, which unfortunately is purveyor of a lot of rage, rant, bad news, emotional outbursts, and actually people believe in what is being put out there, right? And it takes a toll on your patience and positivity, and beyond a point, according to me and in my view, it's not healthy, and some amount of detachment is advisable. And the last of it is, there is, what government is trying to do today, I mean, they realize that, there is an economic fallout and we have to just restart the whole cycle all over again and very, very quickly, right? And my view is that this economic fallout is likely to be significantly more severe, and something which we may have to contend with, Arikan, way after, any vaccine or, the solution is found to it. So that's something which we will have to deal with. I'm sorry, the question which you had asked was at a personal level, what was my experience?
That's right, Prateek.
So I'll again stress on the same point, Archana, that when in a scenario like this, when you're getting completely steamrolled by events which are beyond your control, you need wise heads in the room. The urge to act immediately and with tremendous speed is very high, because in some strange way, it makes you believe that, you're not frozen in your track and you're a very, very decisive leader. And I believe that calmness in these situations is a big virtue, right? Because you don't know any better. I mean, I wish one could actually have someone in the room and said that, look, I have faced it before and therefore I can deal with it. We don't know any better. And therefore, in a scenario like this, it's better to listen to as many people, process it before you act. And I think that's important. And that's been my learning as well. The other element, which, again, as a leader of my own organization, and I know that need to communicate is something which is it's paramount, right? You have to communicate with all your stakeholders, with your employees, with your customers. So you communicate actively, but also is my own point. It may just appear to be a little contrarian, but communicate only to a point where it is appropriate. One need not get to a point where it becomes obsessive. And what we must avoid is don't let it slip into another routine. So I'm a great believer that, there should be active communication, but don't let, every day all your 20 leaders have to get onto the call and, you find that there is nothing additional, because things don't roll along at the same speed. And I'm talking about from my context, another context would be different. So do communicate actively, but do it to a point which is appropriate.
Very true. I think communication and collaboration are two key themes that, you know, keep coming across in all discussions with leaders. And like you said, you know, nothing prepared us for this. I don't think any organization had any BCP or, you know, disaster recovery plans at a country level, which talked about this kind of a scenario. And this is probably the first time a pandemic has had the kind of economical, you know, impact that COVID has had. So do you think if God forbid, if we were to have another wave, do you think that, you know, at a country level, at an organization level, we would be better prepared perhaps?
Look, Chana, I'm no expert, but I do know, and again, since I'm a student of human behavior, it's human nature to strive for normalcy, right? And therefore, it becomes very convenient for us to just move on and quickly move on and move towards that normalcy. And you begin to strike out an experience as something which is once a lifetime event. You say that it's not going to actually happen again, and you again reset yourself to what you were used to. So my belief is that while nations and institutions and organizations will have a template to lean on what to do and what not to do, one's ability to deal with it at an individual level will be completely dependent on how you view this experience through a prism of your own beliefs, if I may, right? Mm. So we will have the template to lead on, but how one actually approaches it could actually vary from individual to individual, organization to organization, and if I may, from nation to nation as well.
I guess in a way, it's a bit of a coping mechanism as well, Prateek.
Oh, yes, very much.
So let's hold that thought, Prateek, while we take a very quick break. I'm in conversation with Prateek Kumar, CEO, Wipro Infrastructure Engineering. This is Sherm Radio, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Sherm Radio in partnership with Timber Media, podcasters for India Inc.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Sherm Radio. I'm Archana Jairath and with me is Prateek Kumar. We are discussing the leadership viewpoint, experiences and learnings from COVID-19. So Prateek, coming back to the conversation, does this experience make you particularly view things differently, and if so, in what way?
So it does. And I think all of us at an individual level in leadership roles, I mean, it has given us opportunity to reflect on things very, very differently. So, and again, if I just go back to the point which I was making earlier, you know, as leaders, Chita, we have to be real about what we are confronting. But at the same time, you need to still continue to instill hope in your people. And I think you alluded to a little while back, I, for one, would rather err on the side of optimism. And it's unimaginable when you begin to actually have the conversation with your leadership, look at, you know, what you're confronting, and you begin to discuss on what else could we be looking at, what opportunities, and you push the envelope a little further, you're just struck by there is so much which can get tabled as things which you didn't look earlier, right? So while we are dealing with issues which are a little more existential, you know, how to actually deal with it, you've got to actually make sure that the payroll is running, you have to be concerned about the safety of your employees, and you have to communicate actively with all those who are connected, you cannot forsake the future. And therefore, as an organization, you have to set people to be thinking of times ahead and what we could be doing so that when we emerge out of it, we come out stronger. And I think that for me has been something as a you know, great point of reflection. One has actually tried attempting it. And to an extent, I never realized that there was so much richness which was lying as opportunities which we had not explored completely earlier.
Very true. I think a lot of new opportunities and new business models that seem to be more permanent and long-term that we're going to be witnessing. And any particular examples that you would like to share that have particularly, impressed you, Prateek, in terms of what some of the organizations or even countries are doing?
Yeah. So, and, you know, if I can just briefly go back, because I was just reflecting on your question, when you talked about the various business models. And I think there's enough which has been spoken, so I don't want to actually add more to the clutter already, which is on work from home, right? And while it's a great alternative, and, you know, just think about if that alternative was not available earlier, To me, it is still is a wonderful alternative, but it is not a substitute, because I still believe that when it comes to ideating, generation of ideas, innovation, it is still is a high contact sport. And therefore, even when we come back and world comes back to, you know, within quotes, that normalcy, there will still be need for that kind of a blend, which would be necessary. So you don't just, you know, throw one model completely out and say that, look, we didn't realize this works perfectly, and you steer completely in that direction. So while it may be suited in some contexts, it may not be suited in all. So that I just thought actually I'll mention, since I think, you know, that's something which, since enough has been written and spoken about, present another point of view on this. So to your questions, are there examples learning from... look, you know, Archana, again, you know, we are not, we are still, in a way, we are going through something like this. So it's too early to look back. But even if the period of last about 10, 12 weeks, if it has revealed something, is that the countries and companies have responded differently. So even in our own operations, we have our manufacturing units, which are in India, which is in Europe. Many of them are in Sweden. And, you know, we have those manufacturing plants in Sweden, for instance, which didn't close even for a single day. So they took a view and an approach, which many of us have read and heard about, which is very, very different. An adjoining country, which is Norway, which took a completely different approach, right? So we don't know right now, so which is the one which is as a model, which is better. But I believe when the dust actually settles down, it will make for a very, very interesting case study on what works and what does not, I believe. And at that point in time, it may present a more evidence-based template for future, which is beyond what we actually believe as individuals and what our understanding of this pandemic is. So I will just put it in those words.
Very well said, Prateek. I think this is going to be a discussion which is going to, you know, be very, very long term, and the world will never be the same for any of us again. But it's been such a great conversation, Prateek, and I think some very, very candid thoughts and personal views that you've shared with us, which is going to be so useful for our listeners, and I really appreciate that. Thank you, Prateek.
Thank you, Archana. Thanks a lot.
Great. Thank you, Prateek. Been a pleasure talking to you. Thanks, everyone, for listening into Sherm Radio in partnership with Timber Media Podcasters. Stay tuned as we come back next Wednesday at 10 a.m. with another great conversation on all things work.
This is Sherm Radio in partnership with Timber Media Podcasters for India, Inc.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.